Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Let me just switch this. Okay. Hey, we are in Acts 12 this morning. I'm going to ask Nicole if she doesn't mind reading, and then we'll jump in.
Okay. Good morning. We're in Acts 12. I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version, starting in verse 1. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Verse 8. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord had sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." Verse 12. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. Excuse me. Verse 19. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. Verse 25, when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark.
Hey, thank you, Nicole. Let's pray and we'll jump into this. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that as we look into your word, you would inspire us, you would challenge us, that we would respond. Our lives would be different because of your word as we look into it today. So, Father, bless this time now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Acts 12. If I had to put kind of a big idea heading on this chapter, I would say, take it from verse 24. It said, but the word of God continued to spread and flourish, right? So obviously we see there's a lot of persecution here. Acts 12 kind of captures some of the reality of our lives, but not nearly as tough as people like Peter and James were going through at the time. We see persecution, we see prayer, we see deliverance, unbelief and unstoppable growth, all these ideas coming out of this chapter. And I think there's a reminder here that, there is opposition for God's people, but his word and his purposes cannot be stopped. And I'll kind of dig a little deeper into that. And then we'll also take a look at how these different sections point back to Jesus. Okay, so first big idea or first point, persecution is obviously real, but God is still in control. So we're looking at the first four verses here. So a little bit of background. So let's look at the sequence first. So Herod persecutes the church. Verse 1, it says, King Herod arrested some. So we don't know exactly who that some is. Verse 2, James, the brother of John, he had put to death by the sword. And then it gets interesting and says, when he saw that this met approval with the Jews, he continued to seize Peter also. So the question I asked myself is, why? Sorry, why were the people approving of Herod's actions, specifically a lot of the Jewish people here? And so if you look back at this time, Herod Agrippa needed to keep favor to keep his role in the area. And he needed the favor of the Jewish people and leaders. So by attacking Christians who were unpopular with a lot of the Jewish religious elite, he was gaining political approval and securing his standing. So all of this had political reasons and gain behind it. Herod's persecution to some of the Jews looked like he was defending Judaism. They thought it was a dangerous sect at the time. So executing James, arresting Peter, made him look like a protector of Jewish traditions. Right, obviously, all political, trying to keep up the religious groups happy. But here's the thing, right? Following Jesus may not always win us approval, right? It might not be the popular thing. But what does it do? It shows where our ultimate allegiance belongs. So a lot of these people were blind to the truth, of the gospel. Lots of Jewish people, lots of Gentiles. But the reality is that there was this good news, the saving grace through Jesus Christ, but it was being missed. So what do we learn from these first few verses? Well, a couple of things. God is sovereign, right? So which means we can trust him even when the outcome might be different from what we expect. Okay, we look at James and Peter, sometimes in our suffering. So James, right, ultimately died. Sometimes we see miraculous rescue like Peter. But both things serve God's purposes, right? Both things had a purpose, just different, which just reminds us that God is sovereign and the way he does things may not be totally clear of what we expect at the time. So let's look at a few scriptures that reinforce these ideas. So Romans 8:28 says God works all things for the good of those who love him, right? All things work together for the good of those who love him. 2 Corinthians 12:9, God's grace is sufficient even in weakness and in suffering. 1 Peter 4:12 through 14. Suffering for Christ is a cause for rejoicing because we share in his glory. So, remembering God's sovereignty and that he's doing something through all these situations. Okay, so I want to bring everything back to the gospel where we can. What's the gospel connection here? Yes, so James's death reminds us that suffering can glorify God and inspire courage in others, right? Because we see that happen in this verse. Peter's rescue, we'll talk more about that, in some ways is a foreshadowing of Jesus's victory over death, right? And his power to save those who are bound by sin. Romans 6:23, John 8:36. So, what questions should we be asking ourselves as we consider these first few verses? So, why do you think God allowed James to die but rescued Peter? Kind of a tough one, right? And, some possible answers is, God had different purposes. We spoke about that already. Maybe it was to inspire courage, to preserve leadership, right? James was saved. But ultimately, God was glorifying himself in all of those lives. Another thought, how can we trust God when prayers seem unanswered? And I think this chapter is a great illustration of this. We have to remember that God's wisdom exceeds ours, right? God is all-knowing, he's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, right? God is just God's God, right? Suffering is never wasted. And ultimate deliverance is an eternity, right? So we have to remember to look at things through this eternity mindset. Go, right, our lives on earth are so short compared to the length of eternity. So ultimate deliverance, sometimes ultimate healing is in eternity. Okay, so our first point was persecution is real. God is still in control. My second point here, we're going to look at Acts 12, 5 and 12, that our greatest weapon is prayer. Okay? It says the church was earnestly praying while Peter sat in prison. See that in verse 5. So what can we derive from that? So prayer is not active, right? Prayer is not passive, it's active. Okay, it's the way that God's people come together to join in God's work, right? United prayer unleashes God's power. So it says the church was earnestly praying to God for him. In verse 12, it says, and this had dawned on him. He went to the house of Mary and mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So it was a active thing that was going on. And the next thought I have here is that prayer is not a backup plan. It is the battle plan, right? Prayer is the primary weapon of God's people. A couple of scriptures to back that up. James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man, righteous person, is powerful and effective. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because prayer keeps us connected to God's will. Philippians 4:6 and 7. Right, prayer brings peace. It guards our hearts and minds. Matthew 18:19-20. When we believe in prayer, God acts in ways we cannot accomplish. Okay, so it goes on and on. Okay, so just taking a quick look at the chat there. Okay, so what does prayer do? Right? Well, prayer has power, right? Prayer breaks chains, which is sorted in this verse. It opens doors. It accomplishes the impossible. If you think about what Peter went through, right? Peter is bound with two chains. He's between two guards. There's two guards at the door. There's a big iron gate, the main gate. And all of that could not stop the prayer of God's people. Okay, just think about that. Okay, so what's the purpose of prayer? Well, it unites the church, right? It strengthens our faith. It glorifies God, not us. And I always like to think that it brings us into alignment with what God is doing, right? Just fix it. Okay, so even when there was doubt, right? Because there was a lot of doubt here. Even when they were praying, there was some doubt. So their faith was mixed with doubt. God still answered. Verse 16, right? And so we need to pray boldly, even when our faith feels small, because God is bigger and more powerful than all of that, and God can do anything. Okay. What's the gospel connection here? Obviously, just as God sent an angel to free Peter, he sent Jesus to rescue us from the prison of sin, right? So Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Prayer reminds us to rely on God for deliverance. Okay, so let's talk a little more about prayer here. Okay, so what's a question for you? And so, what does your earnest prayer look like in your life? Is it persistent? Is it communal? What does it look like? And the beauty of this chapter is it aligns so nicely with the series we're in now, Teach Us How to Pray. So let's talk a little bit about some application to prayer, right? So if you listen to the Pastor Danielle's September 21st message, right, there was a lot of great things on this concept of give us this day our daily bread, right? And some ways to spend time in prayer. So I want to talk about from maybe 2 weeks ago, no, maybe a few more than that. And Pastor Brandon spoke on the 5 minutes of prayer. And then we'll talk about the example from yesterday. So, what could 5 minutes of prayer look like? So, minute one is 1 minute of praise and thanksgiving. It's a thanking God for all the great things in your life, just kind of unpacking where you are at that moment. A minute two, it's kind of general prayer. What am I feeling? Pretty general. Yeah, just kind of like, what's going on? Minute three is request and petition. So, what is it I need? What am I asking God for at that moment? And then we have minutes four and five, where you just do a lot of listening, right? And that's kind of at that time where can really receive from God, where we can align with God wants to do. So just listening, processing, and then closing out with praise and thanksgiving, thanking God for what he's going to do, thanking God for what he already has done. Pastor Danielle mentioned a prayer journal yesterday, for a lot of different things. People do that for groups, for personal. And the beauty of tracking your prayer request and being able to go back is it allows you to see God's goodness and faithfulness over time, right? Where you see, oh, that prayer's been answered. Yes, that. I'm still having faith in this one. But by journaling all those things out, you can really track God's goodness and God's answer to prayers. The other tool, and I'll drop a PDF in the chat after this with both of these tools, is the one that has four pictures on it. And so we ask yourself basically four questions, which would then drive your prayer time. So, what am I glad about or happy about, right? So, what are the things that feeling really positive? So, what are the things I'm happy about? Could be anything, right? Could be family, your job, your health, whatever it is. And the second question would be, what am I sad about? Like, what's upsetting me? What do I really want God to speak into? The third one would be, what am I scared about? And then the last one, it could be anxious. And what am I mad about? So, what's making me upset or angry? And so, as you write those things out, it becomes the basis of the things you bring to God. So, two similar ideas, and you can wrap the one, you're mad, glad, sad, scared one into the 5 minute one. So, just some ideas of how you can spend that time in prayer, in earnest prayer. Why? Because prayer is the primary purpose of God's people. Okay. Third big idea from this chapter, we'll take this out of verses 6 to 11. And obviously, this is where God breaks the chains and opens doors. Okay. So Peter's chains fall off. Why is this significant? Well, because Peter was sleeping between guards. He was bound with chains. There were guards at the entrance. And when the angel came in, he said, get up. And not only did he appear, but there was a light that shone in the cell. The angel actually kind of said, hey, Peter, come on, wake up. Get your clothes on, be quick, let's get out. And everything happened pretty fast. He walks out, the iron gates open by themselves. So obviously, all God's power. So, no situation is beyond God's reach, right? As he's showing us that God can break literal and figurative chains. Right, so the physical chains were on Peter, but for us, there might be figurative chains, right? Maybe fear. sin, whatever that is, addiction, shame, right? Those are all chains that God wants to break. Psalm 107:14 says, God brings prisoners out of darkness and breaks their chains. Right? Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord frees the oppressed. John 8:36, Jesus sets us free from the bondage of sin. Okay, so again, what's the gospel connection here? Because the big idea of this whole chapter is that God's, let me just go back up. The word of God continued to spread and flourish in spite of all of these things, right? So let me just go back to where I was. Okay, so gospel connect. Peter's chains represent our humanity's bondage to sin, right? And Jesus is the ultimate chain breaker, right? We can set us free not only from death, but from guilt and all those things that are holding us back. So God's miraculous intervention points to the power of Jesus, right, to rescue us. So here's the question. What chains are you facing today? What chains am I facing today? Is it fear? Is it addiction? Is it shame, anxiety, unforgiveness, unhealthy habits? God wants us to bring those things to Him in prayer because He has the power to break those chains in our lives. The second thing I would ask myself is, how does Peter's deliverance encourage me? Okay, so obviously we see that God's power is not limited by human barriers, right? Nothing is too great for him. It just reminds us of how powerful God is and how that he can do anything that's in his will to do. Okay. Now, the other thing is we noticed that Peter was really surprised, right? He wasn't like, and even after he got out, he was like, wait, is this actually happening? And so God's answers sometimes surprise us, verses 12 through 17. Even the believers who were praying for Peter's release didn't believe it initially, right? So when he appears to them, they're like, no, that's not him. Must be his angel. But God's answers sometimes surprise us. So here's the application. God can answer even when our faith is small, right? So we should pray with expectancy, not ritual, because ritual is just, I'm going to keep doing this, but not expecting anything. But we need to expect that God does answer prayer. Okay, Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, right? Luke 18, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Okay. So all these miraculous things happening here, unexpected, powerful, life-changing. Okay. Today, who is that answer? Jesus, obviously, right? Jesus is the one that can conquer death, offers new life to everyone. That's the gospel connection, right? There is new life in Jesus if we come to him. Okay, so question to ponder. Why did the believers struggle to believe that Peter was free? Well, they underestimated God and assumed circumstances would limit him, right? Because God doesn't have those limits. So, do we limit God with low expectations in our prayer? I think we do sometimes, but we have to remember and be inspired by Acts 12 that God can always do the impossible. Point number five here, and this might be five and six kind of go together, but yeah, if you look at verse 18, let's look a little further, 18 into 1920. What happens to Herod here? It says immediately, verse 23, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down. This is just so crazy. He was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. So God opposes the proud and defends his glory, right? Herod, he accepted worship as if he were a god. God goes, nope, strike you down. So what does pride do? Pride brings destruction because God defends his glory and will not be mocked. Okay. Herod's pride, right, obviously contrasts with Christ's humility. So here's our gospel connection. Jesus humbled himself even to death on a cross and was exalted by God. Right, true glory belongs to God alone, not to people like Herod or man. Okay, so number six, final one here is, and this might be the most important one. The word of God cannot be stopped, right? Despite persecution, imprisonment, martyrdom, what happened? The word continued to spread. And if we ask ourselves, why was Peter set free? Well, the clear answer is God was showing that nothing could stop the spread of the good news of salvation. Right? God's mission will not be stopped. It is unstoppable. And opposition can actually advance the gospel. Okay, so how do we live in a way that we spread the word? Well, bunch of things here, right? We speak boldly and proclaim Jesus with courage, right? Not always the easiest thing to do, but God's asking us to do that. And the second one, I think, may be the most important. We live differently, right? We let our actions point to Christ. And I think this might be more powerful than we really understand. Why? Because what are people looking for? People are looking for peace in their lives, right? And they might see something in you. And actually, there was someone I invited to church that came yesterday and was asking one of the ladies a lot of questions. And clearly, people are looking for a peace that they don't have. Okay, so how do we do that? We use our platforms, work, school, online, community. Right, we support kingdom work, right? Missions, serving groups, helping people grow in, grow as disciples. We multiply disciples. How do we do that? Well, we invest in people, right? You raise up people who follow Jesus. Okay, here's my final thought here. So what's the next step for each one of us as we consider Acts 12? All right, so the word of God could not be stopped and continued to spread and flourish. All right, so who is one person who needs hope or who needs to hear about Jesus this week? All right, I want to challenge us to take a step as a witness, to have a conversation, maybe do some acts of kindness, share our testimony, or simply just invite someone to church, right? Because kingdom of heaven expands And we invite people in and they find their freedom in Jesus. Okay? So I want to pray for us and then we'll get back to your day. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you are sovereign, even in suffering. Father, you have the power to do anything. Father, we thank you for prayer. It's powerful, that it's purposeful. We thank you that you can break chains, literal and figurative. Father, we pray that we would be humble and not be proud like Herod. And we thank you that your word always prevails and nothing can stop the spread of the gospel. So, Father, we thank you. We pray that this week, today, that we would be your witnesses, that we would invite people into the conversation, that we would show others by the way we live, that as we live different, that there is a better way. So, Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you that Jesus could not be stopped, and you cannot be stopped, and your word will go forth. We praise you, we worship you, and we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you, everyone.